You forgot the first rule of remakes, Jill. Don't fuck with the original.
Hey everyone, The Wolverine is coming out in 2 weeks, and you know what that means? It's time for another edition of Don't F With The Original!
With Nicholas, I'm the video game correspondent for Idiomatic.com.
And I am Dimitri, editor-in-chief of Idiomatic and movie critic. So, as you might have guessed, we are going to talk about the original Wolverine movie, and no, we are not talking about...
X-Men. Or X2.
Or even Red Dawn. The Wolverines!
No.
No, we're not. No, we're talking about X-Men Origins Wolverine, starring Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Yeah.
Alright, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot to talk about with this one. So, let's get started right away with the synopsis. I'll give it a try, although I have to say that is a weird movie to try.
I'll try and jump in if you stray from the synopsis.
You know why it's so weird, though? It's because this movie was written during the writer's strike, and yeah. It was filmed during it, so it's like it's a first pass. So that movie needed someone to look it over again, go like, wait, there's some weirdness going on.
Yeah.
But so the movie starts with essentially an extract from Origins, the comic book that pretends to reveal something about Wolverine's origins, but does nothing.
Of the sort.
Of the sort, exactly. In 1867 Canada, which is kind of funny because Canada didn't exist in 1867. But a little boy and his brother discover that they're mutants and go off into the wild to live their own lives after committing patricide.
Yeah.
These two boys grew up to be Wolverine and Victor Creed, later known as Sabretooth. Although yeah. The movie never really makes it clear whether Victor actually becomes the Tyler main character from X-Men, or if he's a completely different character.
Because he looks different, and there's some inconsistencies in the way they act, but, you know, okay, so he's a feral type, you know, mutant.
He could be related to Tyler main Sabretooth. He could not. It's very vague.
Who knows?
Exactly. And they go from war to war to war, and they become soldiers of fortune, and eventually get drafted into essentially the Weapon X program, where they get teamed up with other mutants to do black ops operations.
Yeah.
Then they go one step too far, so Wolverine goes like, I'm up. I don't want no war no more.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Canada.
And he does what any Canadian does. He becomes a lumberjack.
Yes, and I'm sure they don't show it, but he also practices fighting for beer money so that he can be good at it when X-Men 1 comes along.
Yep.
Because it's a prequel. We forgot to mention that. It's a prequel to X-Men. And then his girlfriend gets killed, spoiler alert, but I have to just sort of move on to what the movie's really about.
Yep.
And Wolverine teams up again with Weapon X for vengeance against his own Weapon X teammates, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
And then the story goes really crazy. Gambit jumps in at one point, and I do mean jump.
Yeah.
And you get Cyclops that somehow gets shoehorned into it as a teenager. Emma Frost gets in there, and the weirdest version of Deadpool at the end. So that's pretty much... as best as I can condense it without going into spoilers, what X-Men Origins Wolverine is about.
Yeah. So what do you think of the movie?
You know what? This is one of those movies that is universally panned.
Yeah.
And I have to say that it's not nearly as bad as people make it out to be.
I'm going to say I enjoyed it until the last 40 minutes.
Hmm.
And it just got completely undone at that point. You know, I was following, oh, this is good. This is going somewhere. Especially I was very pleasantly surprised because, again, you said it was universally panned. So I was like, yeah, this is not that bad. This is actually, yeah, I'm going to even say this is pretty good.
Hmm.
And then he gets to New Orleans and it just flies apart. And I was like, okay, this just stopped making sense all of a sudden. And I'm just like facepalming every time. I was like, no, this shouldn't be. No, this is wrong. And this is like, wow. It was like, it was pretty much a train wreck. The train was going pretty well on the rails the last 40 minutes, and then just bang.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy. I would sort of maybe change the analogy just a bit. I think it's like five trains going pretty well in yeah. all in, but all in the same direction, so that at the end they just collide and you're like, oh, that did not end well.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
I did not think they were all on the same rail. I didn't see that coming. Yes.
So, let's talk about things we like. I did think the Mutant X, team at the beginning was pretty cool, you know, with all the mutants. And, you know, at the beginning, you know, the first X-Men type team, I thought that was pretty nice. I thought it was well filmed and the effects were well done. Had no problem with that. Cinematography was great. When they were in Canada, you can actually see beautiful, you know, stuff happening. And like I said, it was very well filmed for the first hour and a half. It was great.
Hmm. No, I agree. I'm with the movie all along until the end as well. I mean, there's some oddities when he gets to Weapon X, but we'll get to that when we shift to a more negative tone. But
yeah.
My favorite part of the movie, and I think is one of my favorite parts in the whole X-Men franchise, to be honest, is Wolverine's relationship with Victor, played by Liev Schreiber,
yeah.
who is a terrific actor. You know, he's for those of you wondering who that is, he's Cotton from the Scream franchise.
That was him? Yeah, oh my god. Those mutton chops really just... or the whole beard thing is like, wow.
And I like it. Like, you know, he starts the movie going like, you know, from now on, we're brothers. It's you and me. And we'll take down anyone who gets in our way. Which is the sort of thing you would see two siblings facing the world alone in the cold to say. But
yeah.
It sort of has so much more meaning when you realize that these are two immortal beings because of their healing factors.
Yeah.
And I sort of like that. Like, I sort of like the idea that Victor feels terribly betrayed by the fact that Wolverine was like, enough with the killing. I don't want to do it. And you go, the hell with you, Victor. And you're like...
Yeah.
And, you know, you can feel for him because it's like, hey, wait a minute. Like, I saved your life. We hung out together all this time. We could have talked this over instead of you being so self-righteous about it and leaving yeah. me behind, you know? Yeah. So we get his anger and at the same time, his love for his brother, his loyalty, because at the end, he shows quite a bit of loyalty at the same time as the yeah. animosity.
Yeah.
I really, really like that relationship. I would love for it to show up again in the Wolverine sequel that we're going to see.
Yeah.
Because it's a great dynamic.
Indeed.
I like the cute nod to Superman when Wolverine gets picked up by this old couple
yeah. and
things start off like they did in Superman's mythos and then end up completely different because Wolverine's life isn't quite as pretty.
Indeed. Yeah, that was a, you know, I was half expecting it, but still when it happened, you're like, it really hits. Like, oh, no, come on. But yeah, it was a very effective moment. And, you know, you really wanted to kill the bad guy at that point. You're like, yeah. Oh, man, what an asshole.
Another thing I like is that, well, you know, the X-Men movies have tended to have very strong producer influence.
Okay.
And yet really strong directors as well who could still put their vision on it. You know, like Bryan Singer has managed to make this his gay analogy pretty strong, yeah. despite all of the... things. And Brett Ratner is, of course, the exception with X-Men The Last Stand, which we'll talk about on Dreamer's Edge podcast next week. Free plug.
Yay.
Hey. But Gavin Hood with Wolverine, you know, he must have had his hands tied because you could see that a lot of what he wanted to tackle has been squashed. But there's still that sort of undercurrent that's really interesting about the influence of war on man, because all the characters are sort of ex-soldiers who are sickened with themselves, with what they did in the war.
Yeah.
And they all sort of internalize it differently. Like, Wolverine just doesn't want to do it, and he just wants to chop wood
yeah.
in the forest.
Like every Canadian would do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Victor, his reaction is completely the opposite, where he just sort of like, I guess that's what I am. I'm a monster, yeah. you know?
Jack, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And that's what I'm good at. And he's like, and it's also like, look, that's what man does, so I don't have to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And there's this beautiful montage at the beginning where they just like, it's the two brothers growing up all the way to what I presume must be around the 70s.
It was Vietnam, yeah, 70s.
And, you know, and so they go through life in America through the 70s. And it's all one war after the other because that's what it is to be American. And it's sort of like such a strong statement about war and the negative aspects of a culture that thrives only in conflict, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like that. And it's sort of told a very powerful story in just those first 5 minutes. Of course, the whole thing falls apart when Gambit shows up because he has nothing to do with anything of that. But until that point,
yeah,
this sort of statement of like war kills the soul kind of thing was sort of like subtly inserted without it feeling overwhelming or whatnot, but still being very present in all of the characters.
Yeah, and it was well filmed. I did not like the way X, you know, Last Stand was filmed. I thought it was...
It was very cold and sort of a, you know, it's like.
Yeah, exactly. This one, it was a lot nicer, a lot better filmed. I was enjoying watching it more, you know, but...
It has a more humanist way of filming. You got a lot more warmth from it, and yeah, it was a lot less spectacle and much more personality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just like that scene where, you know, Wolverine is about to go and chop wood with his chainsaw and his axe, and his girlfriend comes out of the car and is like, "Hey, you need to kiss me," and like all the other guys are just looking at him and like they're just laughing. It's like, "Haha, you have a girlfriend." Just like, it was a funny scene. It's like, but it was very human, you know. It's like, you know, yeah, that would happen. This is great, you know. Really like those moments that were completely absent in Last Stand.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Last time I was like, okay, we need to do this, to move the action forward. Let's have this happen, and that's it. And, you know, no, there's extra stuff there that was very nice. That is until the last 40 minutes, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, but we might as well get to it now, guys. Yeah. You know, enough suspense.
Yeah.
There is a reason why it's been universally panned. I think people have gone a little bit overboard with it, and I'll explain why as we discuss the problems, but undeniably, the problems are there.
Yes.
So yeah, the last 40 minutes are so weird. Like, Gambit shows up, and I'm still okay with it. Okay, Taylor Kitsch is playing Gambit, and I don't think he's an actor that has quite found himself. He's the one who played John Carter of Mars, and, you know, to a certain degree, managed to get no one to see it. You know, but I mean, like, if you do watch the movie, you'll see, like, he's not bad. He's not great, but he's not bad.
Yeah, he gets a job done.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. Yeah, exactly. And with Gambit, he's sort of like, you know, would I have preferred an actor with a little bit more personality and a little bit more introspection in his performance? Absolutely.
And a little more Cajun.
Yeah, you know. He doesn't have to say Gumbo every 5 lines like in the animated series, but yeah.
That's a good point.
But, you know, he's serviceable. He's perfectly fine. He doesn't ruin the movie or anything. But the character, though, like, what the hell's going on with this dude?
He doesn't need to be there.
No.
It's just, you know, Gambit is popular. Let's just add him in the movie and have him do random stuff just to, you know, to fit everything together.
And you know, yeah.
Even then, his only job is to bring Logan to the final area. And that's, you know, after that, he could have just removed completely.
And that's what kills me about it, okay? Because he's like... That island, no one can get there. I got out. I barely got out. I don't want to go there. The security is crazy and insane. And then I was like, okay, I know what they're going to do. It's going to be like this sort of like crazy, like buddy cop dynamic between two characters who are very similar to a certain degree. Because, I mean, let's face it, the movie version of Wolverine is actually closer to Gambit than the comic book version of Wolverine.
That's true.
So you'd have these guys with two similar personalities, but coming at it from a different angle. Teaming up and like going through crazy security systems with lasers and whatnot. Like, I was going like, oh, that's gonna be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was like a plane ride.
Yeah. And doesn't even land the plane. Wolverine just drops out of the plane and that's it.
Yeah, well, that was kind of cute, actually. It's a good use of his healing factor. But...
I guess. Yeah. Even before that, the main thing is that Victor is killing everybody that used to be in the Weapon X program, basically. And he finally finds the teleporter. I forgot his name. I don't remember him from the comics at all.
Oh, he's the Vanisher.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. He finds the Vanisher. And Vanisher
played
is...
by Will.i.am, of all people.
Yeah. Okay. Who does okay? I mean, for the role he's given.
Yeah, he's fine.
But, you know, Vanisher, who decides, oh, I'm going to kill you, Victor, and his whole idea to kill a guy with healing factor is to punch him in the face. Like, you've worked with the guy, you know he can't be killed, and you decide to punch him in the face nonetheless instead of teleporting like miles away and saying bye-bye. It's like, okay, well, I guess the character needs to be killed there, so we'll have him fight Victor for no reason, have him be killed in the building, and then be outside the building before Wolverine finds him afterwards, because who cares about consistency, you know? And that's at least the one scene that I didn't like, because Wolverine sees his friend dead, so he fights Victor Creed, and he beats him. But then he doesn't finish him off, because Gambit intervenes.
Mm.
But we've seen Wolverine beat Sabretooth. Well, Victor Creed, I should call. We don't know if he's Sabretooth or not.
Right.
We've seen him. So, but he didn't finish the job. He beat him pretty soundly. He didn't finish the job. So we know there's still going to be a fight afterwards in the end. Is there going to be any suspense on who's going to win? He beat him handedly in like a few seconds. And then, okay, they're going to go on that island and there's going to be another fight between the two. I wonder who's going to win, you know?
Although in fairness, that fight doesn't quite happen.
It happens in a few seconds again.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like, it gets interrupted again. Like, it's a weird movie where they go like, they set up that major conflict and they go like, and that conflict will never be paid off. But like, deliberately so. Like, this is not a criticism for me.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like, they're setting up this thing where it's like, these two are destined to duke it out, but always get interrupted because, life will keep getting in the way of their feud.
I guess, but that's not what I was expecting. When you build up that conflict and you're saying, I'm going to get revenge on you, and it's like, well, no, I'm not.
I don't know. It would have been okay if it wasn't for all the other problems with the screenplay. Mm. But for me, it would have been like, once in a while when a movie says I'm going to swerve left and then swerves right instead, sometimes I appreciate it. And I think in another screenplay that's a little bit more agile, I might have liked it.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's talk about the overall structure of the screenplay, because that's my major problem with it. This is a movie that has the weirdest stuff going on. You have one character at some point who dies and then turns out to be a traitor.
Yeah.
And then turns out not to be a traitor and then dies again. And it would have been like, you realize that if she had just died and you didn't bother with reviving her to kill her again, like, the story would have been intact. Like, you just made it 10 times more convoluted for no reason.
And that character died, quote unquote. Okay. It's like that screenplay was written by somebody that has no idea what a mutant is. It's like, okay, she dies, and the way that they fake her death, they use a compound to slow her heart rate down. How about just make her a mutant that can slow her heart rate down,
But it's the weird back and forth, and that back and forth is found throughout the entire movie. Gambit, at the end, the weirdest thing happens. He disappears going like, you're on your own, Wolverine. Then in a climactic moment, comes back and goes like, you're not on your own, Wolverine. Then the screenplay writer realizes, oh wait, there's a climactic confrontation that has to happen and Wolverine needs to be alone. So he has Wolverine turn to Gambit, go like, go left over there, save the people. Yeah. Gambit goes like, I'm going to save people. Then the screenwriter remembers, oh wait, Wolverine needs somebody to talk to at the end after the climactic conflict. So Gambit goes to the end of the tunnel, goes like, I got nothing to do here, and then comes back. Yeah. It's just the most ridiculous thing.
He doesn't, of course, and another slight spoiler alert, that those children are saved by Professor X, who can walk, although he shouldn't, but whatever.
Yeah, a small continuity error with X-Men First Class.
A First Class, you're right, yeah.
I think it's First Class's fault, because First Class came out after, and also the depiction in Wolverine Origins is consistent with the depiction in X-Men The Last Stand.
Yes, it is.
So it's two movies versus one.
You're right. But, okay. But Gambit doesn't know that. He's like, what, these children are being kidnapped by some other guy now. It's like, okay, they're getting into a weird helicopter led by this weird guy. Whatever. He just leaves.
I just love the idea of just having Gambit just go like, where do I need to be now? So, okay, you need to be alone. I'm going to go left. Oh, you need to someone to talk to. I'm going to go right. It's like, there's a way to streamline that. And that's having a second pass at a draft. And that's the biggest problem with Wolverine Origins. It was a movie that had a script that was locked at its first draft because of the writer's strike. No one had the right to rewrite it at that point.
Yeah.
And that script desperately needed a second draft. Because it's a sort of thing like, even the same writers that wrote the original script for X-Men Origins Wolverine could have been like, all right, second pass, time to streamline this bitch. And would have found all of those mistakes.
My favorite scene is when they climb, there's a nuclear power plant on the island. Mm-hmm. Wolverine decides it's going to be a good idea to fight the bad guy on the top of the nuclear chimney. Why not? Why not stay on the ground? No, we're just going to climb on top of the chimney. I'm going to climb with my claws because it'll look cooler when I fight up there, I guess was his thinking. He had no reason whatsoever to do that. It's just, I guess, the script required it. It'll look cool if they fight on top of a nuclear chimney. Sure, let's do that.
But an overall structural problem that I mentioned with all the characters just running in circles can also be found just at the core of the screenplay. Now, if I tell you I'm going to make a movie about the origins of Wolverine,
yeah,
what's the first thing you're going to think about?
How he was born and how he got his adamantium.
Exactly. Yeah. How he got his adamantium. So that scene has to be the crux upon which the entire movie has to be built. Yeah. Is getting the adamantium. Now, there are two ways usually you could build this. You put it at the beginning.
Yeah.
So that you get the money shot right at the start, get the viewer interested, and then deal with the consequences of what it's like to have become the Wolverine.
Yeah. They did that in the slapsticky scene.
Yeah. Or you put it at the end of the movie and have the entire buildup of how Logan will become the Wolverine.
Yeah.
And make it as a tragedy. Instead, they have it in the middle.
Pretty much the exact middle.
And it's so awkward because you have all of the events leading up to him becoming the Wolverine. And then, you know, he's supposed to be this lost soul at this point, but they can't have him be the lost soul at this point because they have to continue the bloody story. Mm-hmm. So he has to deal with all of his problems, be not particularly affected by this traumatic event in his life, mm-hmm. and be perfectly fine, and then finish off what was set up at the first half of the movie. And then, you know, I was like, oh, wait, but that wasn't traumatic at all. That wasn't really a life-changing event the way we set it up. It's like, how are we going to fix that? Magic amnesia bullets. That's yes. How we're going to fix that.
Exactly. I think they wanted to make his amnesia, you know, what made him. Because in the X-Men franchise, he doesn't know who he is. Mm. Doesn't know his origin. So, you know, I guess the magic mind-erasing bullet was, you know, the important thing. Not the claws, not the adamantium, but, you know, his memory wipe.
Yeah.
Which made no sense, but still. There are ways to do it, like, better. There's, like, there's a character, you know, he deserves to die 100 times. And basically, the character that could kill him is like, well, you know, you deserve to die, but you're going to be alive in the second X-Men movie, so I'm going to let you live. It's like, it's pretty much what she says, you know. Not in those words, but you can pretty much hear it, you know. You need to be alive for X2, so I'm going to let you live. Oh, seriously? This, you know, again, I'm guessing with a rewrite, they could have fixed that, you know, yep. and not have these two characters there at the end, or, you know, because basically that action saves Wolverine from being shot again.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, there's an easy rewrite for that. Have there only be one magic bullet instead of, like, 6. But no, you just have to...
Well, first of all, you should get rid of the magic amnesia bullets to begin with. Yeah, okay. It made, like, it's like, oh, Wolverine's a werewolf now? That's interesting. Silver bullets. But it's also... Another way would have been to have her not be strong enough to rewrite him completely, like the way she did, but only strong enough for her to shift his arm towards her before he fires the last bullet so that she takes the last bullet.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they didn't. It's just, it was really her speech about, you know, oh, I'm not going to do that. Like, oh, come on.
It's such a mess. We haven't even got to what the hell they did with Deadpool, because what the hell?
Yep.
First of all, Deadpool, very popular character in the Marvel Comics universe.
Yeah.
He is the merc with a mouth, the guy who will not stop hassling you with his inane comments during a fight.
Yeah.
That's his appeal. That's what makes him so much fun. What do they do? We're going to make you mute.
Yep.
What? Why would you do that?
We should explain, because he was talking at the beginning. He was a smartass.
Yeah.
But then they use him to create the super weapon.
Yeah.
Basically adding a bunch of different powers from different mutants to him.
Yeah.
And they basically, for some reason, remove his mouth.
Well, actually, they explain it. Because he talks too much.
Yeah. How does the guy eat now? The mouth has 2 functions. Okay. And if you remove one for one, you can't do the other. So it's like, oh, now we have to feed him intravenously, I guess. You know, super practical. That's the only way. You know. Don't remove his tongue, which, you know, he could still eat the lips or something. But it's like, oh, so stupid.
Yeah, no, they made him a non-character. They made him a killing machine with no personality. And I'm like, well, in that case, just make him killing machine with no personality. Like, you know, make it Shiva or whatever. Why use Deadpool, who's so celebrated for his unique personality in Marvel Comics, not to use that personality? Because you're sort of dumping a really viable character.
Yeah. That's true. Exactly. They had no reason to use that guy. Was it still Reynolds playing him at that point?
No, think? No, it was a stunt actor at that point.
Okay. Good. Because Reynolds is a good actor when he talks, honestly, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Reynolds is a good actor overall. So it would have been a waste of a really good actor to just have him do stunts, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, of course, they use a stuntman, but it's still a waste.
Yeah.
I still like the Victor thing at the end, like when Victor shows up and changes allegiances in a way that's a little bit twisted and interesting. I think that relationship, like I really do hope that they keep that for future movies.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's a more interesting version of Victor Creed than there is in the comics even.
Yeah. And much more interesting than even in X-Men first one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I mean, I don't know. What did he do in the first one? He just
growled.
He growled and that's it.
Yeah. I would argue that they are meant to be two different characters this time around because he's so different.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a mess. Like really, like the end, you're left there just going like, oh my, like, you know, there were issues, there were weirdnesses going on. Like the fact that the adamantium scene is right in the middle just caught me off guard when I saw the movie. It's like,
yeah,
well, how are you going to pull yourself out of that? And it is awkward when he just rehabilitates
maybe because we saw X2 and they figured they already saw that scene, you know, so it's not interesting. Why would we show this thing again? So let's just get it over with so we can move along with, you know, the interesting stuff, i.e. the magic bullet.
The interesting stuff, you say, the yes. Magical bullet.
People are going to hear magic bullet so much, they're going to think this is about JFK or something. Just stop talking about that.
I take it the other way. I really do think that the magical amnesia bullets were sort of a way to get around a corner that they wrote themselves into. It feels like a device that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like, he needs to lose his memory. How can we do this? You know, yeah. It's like, we just said he can't be killed by a bunch of things, you know, so magic bullets. That's good enough.
Yeah.
We'll fix it on the next rewrite. Da, da,
da. So the Wolverine is coming out.
Yeah.
Do you think it should and will F with the original?
It has to. It has to have been to, you know, fix the problems. Hopefully they do that, you know.
Well, there's no strike this time, okay. So.
Hugh Jackman, he plays a great Wolverine.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't get bored with the role and is just, like, sleep through this one. I hope he's still, you know, he's a professional and gives a great performance like he did. You know, he did great even though the script had problems.
Yeah, he really did. So, he gave it his all.
You know, as long as, you know, that goes on, you know, it'll be pretty enjoyable.
If you see the trailer, what's interesting is that it takes place after X-Men The Last Stand.
Really?
Yeah. So it really is, you know, if you've watched the two Wolverine movies back to back, there's like a 30-40 year difference between the two movies, you know?
And the guy still looks the same.
But that's part of Wolverine's character.
I know. I'm just kidding.
And he's going to Japan.
I thought he went to Japan before the X-Men thing in the comic books.
Oh, yeah, he did. But whatever, it's a new continuity. I'm cool with it, you know.
All right, fine.
And he's mourning the death of Jean Grey and trying to find his feet without having left the X-Men who have all been killed at the end of The Last Stand.
He's mourning the death of the woman he was trying to steal from his husband.
Yeah.
What a jerk.
Well, I think it's okay to mourn her. Yeah, I think it's probably okay to try to steal her from the husband, but it's okay to mourn her.
It's okay to mourn her.
Yeah. I kind of like that idea, to sort of like, oh, okay, Wolverine is isolated again, it was past the X-Men style. Like, the first Wolverine movie is before the X-Men, and the new Wolverine movie is after the X-Men.
Yeah.
I kind of like that idea, I think it has a lot of potential.
Yeah, sounds good.
You can see that Fox is still taking random X-Men characters and shoving them where they don't belong, just because they like the powers, because I saw a shot that distinctively shows Husk, who's supposed to be an X-Men in training, in continuity.
I see.
But he or she might be some kind of corporate spy or whatever.
Interesting.
So, but whatever. Yeah. Like, that's what Fox does. I've long accepted that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So, I'm actually looking forward to that one, oddly enough.
Okay.
And, like, here's a more interesting question, because the Wolverine seems to be a sequel to The Last Stand, fair enough. X-Men Origins Wolverine is a prequel to all of that. So, Which one is worse, X-Men The Last Stand or X-Men Origins Wolverine?
I enjoyed like two-thirds of X-Men Origins Wolverine, so I'm going to say Last Stand is worse, because that movie I started hating like 15, 20 minutes within inside. I was like, just watching, I was like, this is crap. So I enjoyed a longer stretch of X-Men Origins Wolverine, so I'm going to say Last Stand is worse.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I agree completely. I think the Gavin Hood did a terrific job at salvaging the screenplay for X-Men Origins Wolverine,
yeah.
So that the worst thing that came out of it is that it's ultimately pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
It doesn't damage the characters in any way whatsoever. No. It's actually introduces one interesting character. I keep mentioning it, but Victor Creed is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's there. It exists. Like, mm-hmm. That's the worst thing I can say about it. It's pretty not much. That bad.
And it kind of ruins Gambit, because now you can't have it in modern day anymore, because, you know...
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be, like, what, 60? And throwing those cards at 60? Oh,
maybe he doesn't age either, for whatever reason.
Maybe, yeah.
He's immune.
Yeah, I still like my 60-year-old Gambit throwing cards. You young whippersnappers.
All right, on that note... If you have any comments you want to share, thoughts, you want to tell us why X-Men Origins Wolverine is golden or golden shower.
Oh, wow. Spectacular.
You can write us at mail@idiomatic.com or post a comment at idiomatic.com. Just click on the episode name and write a comment below. You know how it works. You've been on the web before.
Yep.
We're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. We're also on iTunes. And we will see you next time.
Next time.